Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real, can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the broadcast this morning. We're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we've been talking about faith, and all through Hebrews chapter 11, we've been talking about example after example after example of people who lived by faith, who were confident in what they hoped for and assured about what they didn't see. And even though they didn't see that, even though they did not receive everything that had been promised them, they still continued to live by faith. And it's the same faith that we're called to live by today. Now, here's one of the misnomers in the Christian life. Some people think that we are just supposed to have faith and that just having faith is enough. I'll tell you something that the Bible tells you. Faith alone by itself is not enough to save you. Whoa, how can you say that? Well, look at James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Well, the answer is no. Okay? It doesn't even answer the question because it's just implied. And so the point is there has to be things that accompany our faith. If you go down to verse 17, after the example that James gives, he says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay, that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? And faith that's not accompanied by faithful action or actions that glorify God or actions that are holy and righteous before God, if it's not accompanied by those things, it's dead. And so he goes on and he talks about Abraham. He talks about Abraham in verse 21. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Okay, so you and I can't just say to ourselves, well, I have faith. Okay, first of all, what kind of faith do you have? I mean, even the demons believe, even the demons have faith, but what good does it do them? Remember in verse 19 of James 2, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. Okay, so it's not just believing that God exists. It's not just believing that Jesus went to the cross for us. It's not just making some kind of a claim and saying, I have faith. Our faith has to have action accompanying it, and not worldly action, not ungodly action, but those things which are good and right before God. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it says in verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You see, all through the scripture, there's a contrast between good and evil, right and wrong, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's pure, what's impure, what's righteous, what's unrighteous. And we have to make a choice of whether or not our deeds are going to follow our faith in God or our conforming to the pattern of this world. As you've heard me say so many times, Romans 12, 2, in light of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to Him, not to the world. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so faith just in and of itself is not enough. Okay, it has to be faith accompanied by godly action. It means that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding, but we acknowledge Him in everything that we do. We delight in what God would have us to do. We don't go, ugh, do I have to do that? We don't go, oh, this is such a burden to live godly. No, we want to. We choose to. We get to. Because God has changed our hearts and minds. And the thing is, if your life doesn't demonstrate the will of God in your life, then you have no confidence to go before God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You can't be like the Jews, the physical nation of Israel under the old covenant, that thought that just because they had the temple, just because they had the priesthood and the sacrifices, just because they had the law and because they had circumcision, that God just kind of winked at their idolatry and their oppression and their greed and their idolatry. No, they were destroyed because of those things. All right? And so we need to be people that we can't just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I have faith. Well, yeah, but how is that demonstrated? What does that look like in your life? What does it look like to others that are looking on? You can't claim the name of Christ and then live like the devil. Well, actually, you can. So can I. But if you live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5 makes it very clear. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody says, well, that's talking about worldly people. Okay, well, guess what? You can't call yourself a Christian and live like that. It's just dead wrong. If you live like this, you may call yourself a Christian, but you are following the practices of and working the deeds of the flesh, not of the Spirit. Okay? And so, going back to Hebrews chapter 12, then, this is why after chapter 11, the faith chapter is finished. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, okay, all of those that were indicated there in chapter 11, all the ones that, who have accepted God by faith, who have been obedient to God's will by faith, who have trusted God instead of themselves, who have lived the kind of life that God wills, instead of being foolish, instead of getting drunk, instead of getting stoned and high and out of control on marijuana or any other kind of drug. You know, I don't care that they legalized marijuana or any other drug. Okay, alcohol is legal, but Christians shouldn't be getting drunk and losing control. We need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not all of those other worldly things. And so that's why he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's the first thing he says. Okay, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to truly be disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, he covers two things there. Everything that hinders. Okay, those are things that are not sinful or wrong in and of themselves, but they're those things that can take away our time, our resources, our finances, our strength from the things that really matter. Okay, and that can include a whole host of things, from any kind of club, any kind of activity, any kind of sport, any kind of, you know, barbecue or whatever it might be. Okay, all of those things can take away time. Some people say, well, the television, and they say, well, I don't watch anything bad on television. Well, yeah, but you can spend your whole day just watching television, and what did you really accomplish? Okay, I'm not here to judge every little thing that you watch on television. I'm just saying, don't just say, well, there's nothing wrong with what I watch, but if you spent all day watching it, was that the best way to be productive for Christ? Now, God's people think about such things as this, and we balance time, and we do enjoy life, and we enjoy the outdoors, and we enjoy sports, and all of the things that are part of this life. It's just those aren't the things that have control of our heart. Those aren't the things that have control of our affections. And if those things have our affections and our heart and our love and our money and our time and our resources more than Christ, then Jesus said, we're not worthy of him. We're not worthy to be his disciples. If we spend all of our time pursuing just the things of this earth, okay, go back and read the book of Ecclesiastes. We were going through that not too long ago through these broadcasts, but go back and read it. It's meaningless. It's vanity. It's worthless to pursue the things of this life just for themselves. God has to be above all of those things. He's the one that ought to be the great motivator. What Jesus did for us on the cross ought to motivate us, constrain us to do right, to reject evil, to say, I want to do the will of God in my life. That's what my faith is all about, is living for God's glory, because I trust that God has delivered me from my sin through Jesus Christ. So, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. He's writing to those who had already accepted Christ, who had already been baptized into Christ, who had already begun this life of faith. Remember back in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. All the things that they did. And he said, don't throw those things away. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. Okay, so we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sin can entangle and entwine and make the Christian ineffective and unproductive in their life for Christ. Sin and those things that hinder can take away a person's witness, their character, their reputation in Christ, And that is so easily damaged once sin starts entering the picture. It so easily entangles if we're not careful with it. And we need to be careful about it. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he talks about false prophets and false teachers and those who want people to think that, oh, we can just pursue the flesh. And he goes on saying in verse 18 of 2 Peter 2 that for they mouth these ungodly, bold, arrogant men that all they're seeking is pleasure. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Boy, that's important for us to remember. You know, sometimes people say they're slaves to Christ. Really? If you're really a slave to Christ, then you're going to do what the Lord says. You're going to act and think and talk and reflect the desires of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be mastered by booze or drugs or cigarettes or any other stupid thing out there that people get mastered by. You're not going to get caught up in those things or any other thing, because you're not slaves to those things. You're slaves to Christ. He has given us freedom. And all this idea of, well, I can do what I want. I'm free to just pursue immorality or sex or drugs or rock and roll or whatever, okay? That's not freedom. That's slavery. And so Peter says in verse 20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Christian, holy one of God, saints, we are not to be like the world. We're not to live like the world. We're to live by faith. And living by faith does not mean getting entangled in the world all over again and being overcome and claiming that, oh, I'm just a worldly Christian. It doesn't fit. It doesn't match up. We need to be people that throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's spend some more time looking at some different verses in Matthew chapter 6, and we're not going to read the whole passage, but from verse 25 down through 34, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount is saying, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. And don't look about all of those things and think we've got to run after these things. But he says in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In other words, don't pursue the love of money. You'll never have enough. You'll never get enough. And so be hardworking and be diligent and put your money to good use and do things that can earn more and everything else for the kingdom of God, but don't get eager to love money just for the sake of loving money. We're to avoid those things. We're not to be eager. We don't want to wander from the faith. We want to live by faith. Okay, here's another one in Luke chapter 12. We just did a message on this a few weeks ago. Luke chapter 12. In verse 15, Jesus said to the crowd, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And so if we're going to call ourselves Christians or claim to be Christians, we cannot continue to live a life of greed. It just doesn't work. It's not compatible with faith to be greedy, to be idolatrous, to put the love of money or possessions or things before our love of God, before our seeking first his kingdom or his righteousness. What about Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6, Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 6 that there were those who thought that by their sin that God's grace would be even more observable. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And then in verse 11 he says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." You and I can't call ourselves Christians and live unrighteously. Just go on sinning. Just let sin reign in our lives. No way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read this last night in our class on Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia and the Christians living there. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law." Now, we already read about the misdeeds of the flesh, but in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another." Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 if you're following along, or just listen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Man, we could just go on and on and on with so many more scriptures that share with us. We need to listen to the wisdom of God, not the ways of the world. We need to pattern our lives after the Spirit of Christ, not after the spirit of the world. We need to let the Spirit of God produce his fruit in our life, not be conformed to the pattern of sexual immorality, ungodliness that's in the world. You know, it's so sad. This last week in Las Vegas, two toddlers here in Las Vegas one was murdered, one was seriously abused. Actually, they both were. I mean, it's terrible. How can that even happen? Loss of natural affection, even by their mothers. Okay? That's wicked. That's ungodly. That shouldn't happen. You say, well, no Christian would do that. Well, they could if they chose to. I don't know why they would want to. But I'm just saying that if we're not careful, if we don't make up our minds to put aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, brothers and sisters, it can happen. Okay? It can happen. And we do not want to be those who wander away from the faith, who drift away, who treat the sacrifice of Christ as an unholy, unclean thing, who trample his blood underfoot in our desire to live the way we want to live. Okay? We need to live the way God wants us to live, because it's the best way to live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Friends, thanks for listening this morning. Thank you for taking the time out of your Sunday morning to listen. And if you were listening to the radio and all of a sudden here we were and you're like, wow, what is this? I hope the Spirit of God has woken up something in you that says, hey, man, maybe I need to look in this. Maybe I need to take a real close look at my life and make sure everything is right before God. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I'm a saint of God. And I'm so glad that I can be among his holy people, not by my righteousness, but because of his. And so I want to encourage you to come and meet with us at the Church of Las Vegas. Again, we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We just started going through the letter to the Philippians. If you'd like to know more information about us, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can listen to messages, you can listen to old broadcasts, you can find out what's going on, you can leave comments or ask questions, all of those things we would love and encourage you to do. Before we are done this morning, again, I want to just one more time encourage all of us who have made a decision to follow Christ, that we said, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I pray that you are pursuing that with all of your heart. And if you're not, what will you do about it? If you are claiming to be a Christian and yet living a wicked, immoral, ungodly life, if you are mastered by any physical substance or emotion or any other kind of thing in your life, today's the day to get free from that by repenting of your sin, confessing it to God and saying, God, I need your help to overcome that in my life. I don't want that to drag me or hinder me or cause me to wander away from faith in you. If you're out there this morning and you don't know about the ways of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you can find him, that If you seek for him, you'll find him. And we'd love to be able to tell you about Jesus, the greatest story ever told. And so thanks so much for listening this morning. As again, we always say at the end of the broadcast, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.